occasionally.
Are plenty of Yahoos.
On a case-by-case basis.
There are plenty of,
I will agree to that.
There are plenty of Yahoos out there and white supremacists out there who have adopted it. But that doesn't mean that you should take it away from everybody or immediately see one and be like, you're a dumbass redneck. Because then you're just as bad as the people who are sitting there saying, they're making our kids gay. You know, it fails on both fronts. Here's a question I have. If you took a Confederate flag and you took the blue part out of the middle, you know, that blue section, and replaced it with the rainbow gay thing, is that okay? Can we have that flag?
Oh, my God. I really hope that Alabama school put that up instead.
Yeah. Why don't they put that up, and then everybody can
and
be happy.
And see what everybody thinks.
Everybody can be unhappy. I want to know.
Complain about this, biatch.
I want to know what the heterosexual flag is.
Really, I think that, actually, listeners, if you would like to construct a heterosexual flag and submit it to WMFO.org, we'd be happy to see it.
I the only thing that I can think of is it's like, I don't know. I don't know what a heterosexual flag would even look like.
I mean, yeah, that I think is like the biggest thing of this petition that, like, I mean, if you want to invalidate yourself in terms of trying to make a political statement, use the term heterosexual flag. And everyone should be like, whoever wrote this is a moron.
Is it like a silhouette of a couple
of...
Or
even Christian flag. What is a Christian flag?
There's Christian flags out there.
But it's not like...
The Vatican has flags.
Yes, but I mean, they have specifically Roman Catholic flags. There's nothing short of a flag that says Christian across it with a cross. Like, I mean, there's no like official Christian flag.
Is it a flag of like those pedestrian, you know, crossing silhouettes banging?
It's a flag.
And it's obviously like a man and a woman. Is that the heterosexual flag? What the heck is... I'm trying to figure out what is a heterosexual symbol in the first place.
That's... I guess it's, yeah, like that's a very good point. There's not even like a heterosexual symbol. There's no symbol that means heterosexuality.
Because it's like heterosexuals are men and women, and there's nothing that we do that is different than what other people do. Other than who we choose to insert or who we choose not to insert our genitals into.
I honestly
That's
might
what
turn this into
us.
A contest.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we need a good heterosexual flag. Somebody please come
Someone
up with
Someone
come
up with one. Email us here.
The heterosexual flag. Now I am going to be angry if somebody puts one of those up because it will confuse me.
Because you'll just be like, what's that?
Am I supposed to be offended by that? I don't know. Maybe. Big Ben.
Big Ben.
Not Roethlisberger.
That was, of course, the first thing to come into my mind. I don't know.
Big Ben, you didn't hear this?
Mm-mm.
Ooh, major scandal. Big Ben is going to be silent for the next 4 years. As work is completed on Westminster's clock tower.
Okay, I did hear this.
UK politicians are furious about it. Originally, it was just supposed to go offline for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying...
I heard that amount of it.
Yeah, no, now they're
Which
saying...
Which is why I kind of...
They've now said 4 years. Yes. And... The politicians are like...
Is it in protest of Trump being president?
Why is it going to take 4 years to do this? How can you turn it off for 4 years? What they're not talking about in this is the elated neighbors who aren't going to have to listen to the damn clock for 4 years.
It's a fair point.
They're probably very happy.
It's like those people in Braintree when they put the commuter rail through. They're just like, oh, train through my backyard.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Baby powder.
Johnson & Johnson has been ordered to pay a California woman $417 million. That's with an M. $417 million after a jury found that the company's baby powder was responsible for her ovarian cancer. Now, before you freak out and you're like, oh my God, the baby powder is causing cancer. It's making your kids gay is what it's doing. This woman used it at least once a day, sometimes more than once a day, every day for 41 years.
For over 50 years.
For the last 9 years, that was after she had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So she used it for 41 years, got cancer, and used it for another 9 years. So casual contact and occasional use of the baby powder, probably not going to give you cancer. Don't hold me to that because I don't want to get sued. Using it every single day for 40 years... You're probably increasing your risk.
The thing is, though, I mean, I can't really blame her. There are, especially speaking as a woman, there are lots of things that I Like, I don't think about putting on deodorant every day. If I'm wearing a skirt, I use baby powder to or talcum powder to, you know, get rid of a stick that ladies know about the friction situation. But it's that's the thing. It's like you would never, I mean, we both smoke cigarettes. You smoke a cigarette, you're like, okay, I'm kind of increasing my risk of cancer. Yeah. You put talcum powder in your area, you're not thinking, oh, I'm giving myself ovarian cancer.
Yeah.
You would never in a million years think that. And honestly, this came after, in May, a jury awarded $110.5 million to a woman in Virginia for the same reason. And all of this was based upon the fact that the company apparently had internal documents from several decades that showed that Johnson & Johnson knew about the risks and correlation between the talc and the ovarian cancer.
1964 was when they commissioned that report.
I'm going to say that's how long ago, that's how far back this goes. Yeah. So this is something like, I mean, we've heard for years about, you know, diet soda causing cancer, cigarettes causing cancer, your cell phone causing cancer, all this stuff. I this is the first time in my entire life in 31 years of being alive that I've heard of talc causing cancer. If anything, like my grandmother is the one who told me to start using it.
So cooling. So good.
Oh, it is. Everybody really. I mean, talc. If you listen to Harrison Stebbins, he's got a great bit about the menthol gold bond. And
listening to Harrison Stebbins may cause ovarian cancer. He's going to have to put that that warning in front of his sets now.
I mean, I kind of knew that anyways.
Excuse me. Robert Lee.
The Black Tart? Oh, not Robert E. Lee?
Robert Lee.
Oh, then no.
Robert Lee, you've got the right sort of connection here. Is the ESPN sports announcer who was pulled from the University of Virginia's home opener because they didn't want to offend anybody.
Because of his name?
He's Asian. ESPN was worried that...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean for all of you to have to just listen to me like fart noise into the microphone, but that's how ridiculous this story is.
Oh, ESPN has been appropriately raked over the coals for this. ESPN was concerned that people would see a Virginia football game called by a man named Robert Lee and it would trigger something or other and there would be funny memes posted about it. And so they asked him to go cover another game. Word about this got out and ESPN is our dum-dum of the day. Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Dumb.
Dumb. You know who you blame for this? Disney. Disney.
You can pretty much blame Disney for everything. You know, especially the Holocaust. I'm sorry, that was uncalled for. Let's see, what's a good one? Okay. Well, on that note, Charlottesville statues.
The Charlottesville statues of Robert E. Lee and
I knew you were going to get that one.
Stonewall Jackson, I believe, is the other one.
Yes.
Will be draped in black mourning cloth.
Oh, they already were.
Or already were draped in black. Mm-hmm. They have been draped in black mourning cloth, partly arousing out of a somewhat contentious city council meeting that took place the other night, where a couple of hundred angry residents basically hounded the city councilors out of the room and demanded to be given time to speak. So this is the upshot of that. We put a tarp over the statue so you don't have to look at it. These statues are probably coming down.
Mm. Well, this happened this afternoon. They had a small crowd around. They did it as a symbol of mourning for Heather Heyer, who obviously was the woman who died in Charlottesville a few weeks ago. But apparently there were a good amount of onlookers, and ironically, they originally were just going to cover the statue of Robert E. Lee, and they thought, you know, just for good measure, we'll cover Stonewall Jackson, too.
Robert E. Lee is no shortage, no stranger to displays of mourning. We will remember that Arlington National Cemetery is built in his backyard. The Village Voice.
Village Voice. All I can ever think of that is about that is the people who blew up the Club Kids murder.
Oh, yeah. Also your source for coverage of the Stonewall riots.
Of course. Oh, no. I did hear about this. It's R.I.P.
The print edition is R.I.P.
Okay.
You will still be able to get your Village Voice online, but they are no longer publishing a print edition. They announced that on Monday, ending a tradition that began in 1955. 62 years of print gone.
Wait, but how are hipsters going to look cool in Washington Square Park now?
They've got their new cell phone. Isn't that how you look cool these days?
No, but you have to like kick it old school to look like really progressive.
They'll have their vintage Sony Walkmans wrapped around their man buns, and that's how you'll know that they're cool.
Okay, Clinton Trump.
I assume we're talking about the excerpt from the book. In which Hillary Clinton said that her skin crawled as Donald Trump was sneaking around in back of her during one of the televised national debates, coming days after he had been accused of groping or bragged about groping women.
Yes.
I guess Hillary thought somewhere that he was going to walk up and grope her. And if that's the case, she does not understand Donald Trump at all.
Well, it's... according to the interview she had with MSNBC's Morning Joe, she recounted her thoughts as she toyed with the idea of telling her Republican rival to, quote, back up, you creep,
yeah,
as he stood behind her during the second presidential debate. She said it was one of those moments where you wish you could just hit pause and ask everyone watching, well, like, what would you do? But she said that she decided against that in order to keep her composure and instead gripped the microphone extra hard. That was her way of dealing with it, evidently. I did think it was interesting, though. Just it was so interesting to read about this today. So this was last October, and I remember I was in the car with my father driving back from the Hamptons because... my dad's fancy, but driving back from the Hamptons, and we were actually like, we had a like telecast in the middle of his, and I was like watching and telling him like what was giving him kind of a play-by-play.
Yeah.
And like I'm saying to him is like, he keeps like creepily standing behind
her.
No,
he's photobombing her.
Yeah, like legitimately.
Like Donald Trump knows where the camera is. Yeah, he's like, camera's
like,
over there.
It really felt like a 16-year-old like ruining a chick's picture.
Yeah, like, yeah, pretty much.
Well, height-wise in general, I know I'm 6 feet tall, but not all of you know that. I'm 6 feet tall, but I can tell if there's someone who's like 6'5 who's standing behind me, I don't have to turn around. I can tell they're standing behind me. And I think it was also just a matter of like an intimidation without her even having to see him, you know? Because he's got a good 6 inches on Hillary Clinton, when she's in heels.
I think there's that element to it, but I think mostly he's just there to get his face on the camera, you know? And he's like, hey, don't forget I'm over here.
Donald, couldn't you just, like, host another season of The Apprentice? Why do you have to be president?
Kyrie Irving.
No idea.
This is the single biggest story in Boston today. And if Lisa Nichols was here, we would have talked about it by now.
Well, I'm sorry Lisa Nichols isn't here.
He is a Boston Celtic now. And
I don't know about that.
And former Boston Celtic Isaiah Thomas is a Cleveland Cavalier following a blockbuster trade that also sent Jay Crowder in a protected first-round draft pick next year to Cleveland. This is a big, big, big deal.
For basketball fans.
This is for Boston sports fans in general.
I'm a Boston sports fan, but I don't care about
this
basketball.
Is the kind of blockbuster trade that very, very rarely comes around in sports. Because you're taking two guys who are basically like superstars on their now, Cleveland Browns. If you're not LeBron James, nobody cares who you are. Which is part of the reason Kyrie Irving wants to get out of there, and made it clear to the Browns or made it clear to the Cavaliers that he wanted to get out of there. Isaiah Thomas has been the center of the Boston Celtics team development for the last several years.
That I knew,
but he's got a potential $200 million contract cost coming up in another year or so. So we traded him. We got somebody who is essentially him, who is younger and who doesn't have a giant contract looming. And somebody who, I think what's going on with this, in trying to figure out what Danny Ainge is doing, I think what's going on with this is we know who Isaiah Thomas is. We've seen him play long enough. We've seen what he can do. He's not the guy to get us to the finals. Mm. Kyrie Irving has been in LeBron James' shadow for his entire career. And I think the belief is that if you pull him out of that and let him be the centerpiece of the team, that
he's going to shine.
He's going to go to an even bigger level than he already plays at.
Well, that's I was gonna say, as listeners, I'm a baseball girl.
But we gave up.
If you've known me for the span of this show over the past several years, you know I'm a baseball girl. But in the moments of research I've been able to do since Eric brought this up, he did say he actually requested the trade during a July meeting with the owner of the Cavaliers, and said that he wanted to play in a situation in which he could be the focal point, and that he no longer wanted to play alongside LeBron James, which. I mean, that's definitely true. I mean, if you look at even the first thing that comes to mind, actually, is for putting it in a parallel that I can understand, is Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Whereas Stephen Colbert was originally a correspondent for Jon Stewart.
And funny.
And super funny as that. But in order to actually rise to the ability that he had and actually shine on through, he had to separate and do his own thing.
And
which I think
stop being funny was the consequence of all of that. But yeah, there's a parallel there.
I'm going to throw my Yeti at you once it's empty.
I like the young, funny Steve Colbert, not the old, dour Steve Colbert.
The rally to restore sanity was fun.
Yeah, no, but
was fun. Were you there?
I wasn't there. I read the highlights online. I didn't need to be there. All right, your last one.
I'm gonna say it's my turn. Now my computer froze from looking up things about Celtics players. Come on, Mexico.
It's a country. It has Mexicans in it.
Insightful, Derek.
Yes. Would this be Donald Trump threatening to shut down the government so that he can get his border wall?
No, actually, but
it was a big story today.
Somewhat related.
Is this a follow-up on the counterfeit alcohol that we talked about a couple of weeks ago?
Sort of, actually. So the U.S.
This is the U.S. State Department issuing a travel advisory to Americans to stay out of certain parts of Mexico, partly because of the counterfeit alcohol, but partly also because of rampant drug gang violence.
Yes. Or at least that's the red herring they're using.
I think it's the Yucatan Peninsula area that we're supposed to stay away from, isn't it?
Well, actually, they don't mention the Caribbean resorts of... or Caribbean, however we're supposed to pronounce it. I always do it the pirate way. It's more fun. But of like Cancun or Playa del Carmen, which are the most common tourist destinations. But Quintana Roo, which is where Cancun, Tulum, and a lot of other tourist destinations are, all of that is basically advised not to visit. And the State Department is saying that that is because, quote, turf battles between criminal groups have resulted in violent crimes in areas frequented by U.S. citizens, end quote.
Yeah.
But it really is, as I said, it's largely reactionary to the, counterfeit's the wrong word, but to the not awesome alcohol.
The fake booze that they were selling?
The fake booze that keeps killing people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's their way, you know, it's, well, especially what I find so funny about, funny is the wrong word.
Mexican authorities did find an awful lot of that fake booze last week.
Oh, they did. And a lot of places have been closed down as a result, or at least issued warnings and, you know, temporarily closed. But I do think what I find funny about that the State Department is going this route to do it is that Americans love booze. So if you say don't go to this area of Mexico because the booze might be too strong or the booze might be bad, they'd be like, oh my God, I gotta try some of this booze.
But that's really not what anybody is saying here. What we're saying...
But that's what I'm saying is that that's why the State Department is going, oh no, it's just that there's terrible stuff happening there. Yeah. Don't go.
Yeah. What? Because
if you say... If you just say, oh, there's tainted alcohol, people are like, oh my God, tainted alcohol? I want to try tainted alcohol.
Again, I think everybody's pretty clear that, like, the fake booze, go into your garage and drink a gallon of paint thinner if you want the equivalent experience.
But that's what I'm saying though, is that there. I mean, you and
don't
I,
do that,
you and
by
I,
the way.
Of course,
I didn't tell you to do that.
No,
don't
paint
go drink
thinner,
the paint thinner.
No mouthwash. No. Antifreeze.
Yeah, don't drink those.
But you and I know that.
Don't take a drop of freaking antifreeze.
Lord hopes our listeners know not to do that. But I'm saying, you know, there are some dumb millennials out there who are going to be like, oh my God, fake bees? What's that? But if they hear gang activity, they go and run.
To be fair, there is both. So it's not like they're lying anybody.
Oh no, it's just they're focusing on the thing that will deter people from actually going.
All right, last one for you. Harvey. Not the Jimmy Stewart movie.
Oh, that was going to be my guess, Derek.
No, it is not the Jimmy Stewart movie.
Harvey.
Harvey.
Can you give me anything else?
Harvey. Big story today. Huge story today.
Harvey.
Really big story if you're in the South.
Oh. Nope, no idea.
Strengthening in the Gulf of Mexico, Harvey has set its sights on the Texas Gulf Coast.
Sure, sorry.
Where it could,
I was thinking it was a person.
Where it could be, well, it could be a full-fledged hurricane by the time it makes landfall, which is expected late Friday night, early Saturday morning. So people down in the Texas Gulf Coast are, and obviously Louisiana as well, are going to be keeping a very, very close eye on where this thing goes and what it decides to do. It is WMFO Medford. It is 8:21. On the Towel, Mikey D is coming up at 9 o'clock tonight. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. She is Chase Belaine. I am Derek Gary. The telephone number, 855-915-9636. When we come back, something cool and important and valuable happened in Boston on Saturday that may actually change your mind about the city that we live in. And the people who live in this city. So we're going to talk about that.
Dang Streezy.
And I think we're going to get an eyewitness report on some of the nonsense that went down right after this here on WMFO Medford.
Brother James Brown, soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Uh-huh.
I was about to start up my ATV on a trail near a bunch of dry brush, and Smokey told me that was dangerous because one spark can start a wildfire.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 815-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Spell it out on your phone. Dial in. We love to hear from our listeners. And don't forget, On the Town with Mikey D coming up at 9 o'clock tonight. I have said many things about the city of Boston on this program. And I watched what unfolded at Boston Common on Saturday from the comfort of my couch after doing a lot of yard work. because I had
it's
yard...
It's a very different view I had.
I had yard work to do and little inclination to go in and be a part of the whatever was going to be on either side. But there is an image of that event on Saturday that I think says a tremendous amount about where we are as a society and where we are in the city of Boston. I have gone on the record several times this spring alone saying that Boston is a racist city because, quite frankly, it is.
Okay? And I think that's kind of the country over, maybe even the world over, the way we're viewed.
We have earned that reputation,
yes.
Through historic behavior, but also through current reality.
Mm.
Boston remains one of the most segregated cities in the United States of America.
Oh, absolutely.
If you don't understand that, go south. Go down to Philadelphia. Go to Atlanta. Go to Los Angeles. Go to any other part of the country where black people and white people live side by side and are neighbors and talk to each other and go to the same restaurants and go to the same bars and go and hang out, as opposed to Boston, where we have those two neighborhoods where the blacks live. And then all the rich white people up and down Com Ave.
I grew up in Quincy. I had met 3 black people before I went away to college.
Yeah.
Ever.
Saturday.
It was a wonderful day.
There was supposed to be a free speech rally. That's what the...
quote, unquote.
That's what the neocons were calling it. A free speech rally wherein people in favor of conservative points of view and white supremacism could come on down to Boston Common.
I say, you're being super generous with saying that's what they were there for.
I'm saying that not everybody who was there may have been a white supremacist, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And in fact, at least one person who was supposed to speak is not.
Mm.
There's a guy who is running for Boston City Council who was supposed to be one of the speakers and for whatever reason could not get in and was actually out talking because he's running for office.
Mm-hmm.
He's out talking to the counter protesters.
I would say, I believe that's who is speaking on the State House steps, actually.
So I think it was. Mm-hmm. And he's not a white supremacist, but he was supposed to speak. He was supposed to be a part of that whole thing. So there is this image Because when I turned on the television at about 12:30, when I was done with my yard work for the day, it should have been the height of the rally. Mm-hmm. The free speech folks were going to come in at 11 and speak until 2. And at 12:30, this is the image.
This is when I get off the tee, actually.
This is the enduring image to me of the free speech rally, the white supremacist presence and all the rest of that in Boston on Saturday. The Boston Bandstand is a historic structure that sits on the Boylston Street side of Boston Common. It was probably somewhere in the vicinity of 15 feet in diameter.
I'm gonna say it's essentially a big gazebo.
Yes, it's bigger than
a big marble gazebo.
It's larger than the bandstands that you see in a lot of suburbs around here, but it is not the size of the hat shell. It is not. Yes. It's a tall structure, but it is not a very big structure. Mm-hmm. And the image provided by news media, by reporters on the ground, by helicopters in the air, is of a small, pathetic group of about 40 people milling around on the bandstand, surrounded by barricades 50 feet in every direction where their supporters were supposed to be, that are completely empty. And beyond those barricades, thousands
of us
and thousands of people opposed to their message.
It was, I will say, it's
that's what happened on Saturday
in Boston,
racist city, a city that people all over the country will tell you Boston is a racist city. Well, you know what, on Saturday, Boston, the right people stood up and took a little bit of that reputation back. Not all of it. There's still a lot to atone for in this city.
Yeah, but it was a step in the proper direction.
Boy, damn, was that a day you could be proud to be a Bostonian.
Oh, absolutely.
And proud to be from this area.
Well, and that's, and as you, Derek, and as our listeners know, I've been involved in a lot of different forms of activism over the years. I will say that Saturday was one of the most special days of my life. The fact that I ended up getting there a bit late because, quite understandably, they closed the Park Street station.
Yeah.
So I had to walk from Downtown Crossing. But as I approached the Common, the first thing that happened to me was that I could hear these thousands of people screaming, "Where's your rally?"
Yeah. Yeah.
"Where's your rally?" to the less than 100 people in the bandstand.
There were 40. There were about 40 because they...
Well, that's the thing, is that every news source is estimating it in different numbers. But that's the... By and large, we've agreed upon that it's around 40.
Yeah.
And then once I crossed into the Common, once that they got shipped out of there.
Yeah.
But it kept continuing for several hours afterwards. And it was such a beautiful display of all these different Bostonians, clearly from different backgrounds, from different areas of Boston. Maybe they were students, maybe they were born and raised, maybe they were just everything you could imagine. I think actually my favorite moment of the day was when Keytar Bear was playing and I danced with a middle-aged black woman for 20 minutes.
Did anyone throw a punch at Keytar Bear? Because that seems to happen a lot.
Oh, he legitimately had like, it essentially was like people, it was definitely unofficial, but it was people volunteering to just like, there were people standing there, arms crossed, looking around being like, "I dare you to mess with Keytar Bear."
So Keytar Bear's got some muscle now, is what you're saying.
Oh yeah. Keytar Bear has backup.
Keytar Bear should not need muscle.
But was the theme of the day. I mean, and
it was a day when even Keytar Bear could feel safe on the streets of Boston.
And I mean, I won't lie. There was, and it was, what I loved about it is it was mostly peaceful. There were a few little instances of, you know, like I watched someone burn a Confederate flag. I saw one guy, actually, this is funnily enough, funny is the wrong word, but as I was leaving, I'd been there for a couple hours and they had already shipped out all of the people, all of using that word very generously.
Well, they rolled them out in what we, I'm not supposed to call them these anymore, but everybody around here will immediately know what I'm saying. They rolled them out in paddy wagons.
Yes.
They stashed them in the alley for a little while.
Uh-huh. Actually, both paddy wagons drove by me as I was in the mob.
There were like four or five of them that they uh-huh. needed. And they
well,
stuck
there,
them
were,
in-
there were two that were... Like, they kind of tried to sneak them all out, and then they wanted to wait for things to die down, but then after, like, 3 hours, it was like, okay, things aren't going
to die
down.
With respect and love to my Irish brothers and sisters, if I say paddy wagon, everybody knows exactly
yes,
what it is.
Yes, we're speaking colloquially. We're not trying to. I'm Irish as the day's long, kids. So, I'm allowed to say it.
In a certain sense, the white supremacists were arrested and taken away from their own rally. That's what happened.
Well, the funny thing is, and I have to, especially with... with reference to us talking about Charlottesville last week and the police preparedness or lack thereof, that's what I thought was really, truly remarkable about this weekend in Boston, is beyond the fact that we all came together to stand up in, like you said, in a stereotypically racist city for people of all backgrounds, all shades and shapes and sizes and everything, coming up and saying, no, this is our city. That was one of the... it was one of the big chants that day was whose streets are streets, and ironically kind of borrowing it and flipping it on its head. But the police presence and the preparedness was really, truly remarkable.
Yeah. And the Boston police, we will say, do a very, very good job of maintaining order. And that's why we don't have sports riots in this town. That's why a lot of these things don't happen. You still had about two dozen of these Antifa idiots show up to fight with the cops. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they're fighting with the cops, except it's what they do.
Well, and that's the thing, is that they maintained order without interfering with the cause, without interfering with what everyone was trying to do, unless it turned violent, unless it turned to the point where they needed to. Which, as I was walking through the rally and walking away, every police officer I saw, I thanked. Just for keeping us all safe. But that, beyond that, like, even, it's funny, as I'd been there for maybe 3 or 4 hours, and I decided, you know what, I've done my part for this cause. I'm getting very dehydrated. Yeah. I think I should
It's hot.
Make
there are no water
way.
Vendors out here.
Yeah, even though I will say that a lot of the people who organized the counter-protest actually were walking around with cases of water, handing them out to people, which
I thought
was awesome.
Are you sure
that
was water, not bottles of urine to throw at the police? Because somebody was throwing bottles of urine at the police.
Oh, I broke a seal, for lack of a better way to describe it. So I'm fully aware. Yeah. But it's ironically, as I was leaving, all of a sudden there was a guy who was screaming, "All lives matter. All of you are idiots. Like, you don't even know what you're here for." Like, and then started yelling some very racist, very not nice things.
Because it's Boston.
And immediately, another guy jumped on top of him and tackled him. 10 seconds later, police are right there.
Yeah.
Like, they were ready for it. It was like, it was literally like I blinked and there were police officers breaking it up. It was really... And like I said, I was there for hours, and that was the only instance of straight up violence that I saw. It was mostly incredibly peaceful, and just a really refreshing and kind of, not to sound like a hippie, but kind of cleansing sense of unity amongst Bostonians.
Yeah.
And amongst it almost felt like it was ushering us into a new era of what our city is.
But it's
and what we stand for.
And this is why I support the idea of the rally and support the hosting of rallies like this, because unless you let these people out into the daylight, mm-hmm. or those people, or whatever you're not supposed to say, unless we let those people. You wouldn't have this image of 40 people surrounded by empty barricades who look like they're in some sort of self-created prison. Surrounded.
Honestly, that was the best part, was that it was happening there. It really did look like they were being imprisoned.
Surrounded by thousands of people who are expressing a message of unity and support and love.
And
I have said in the past on this program, and I will continue to say it, If you are selling hate in the United States of America, you are selling a product that has very, very few buyers. Mm-hmm. And when you contrast what happened in Boston this past Saturday with what happened in Charlottesville a week before, the images that came out of Charlottesville were frightening to a lot of people, because especially the Friday night rally, because there were a couple of hundred people walking through the street with tiki torches. And granted, it's the Ku Klux Chad. They all got their tiki torches at the big box store. They're all wearing polo shirts and flip-flops. And these people are only dangerous when they're in a crowd. You get one of them by themselves and they turn into a little crying baby and hope that you'll leave them alone.
If you don't believe us, just look at the video of Christopher Cantwell after he found out there was a warrant out for him.
But the images that came out of that rally made it look like, oh my God, there is this resurgent white supremacy movement in the United States of America. And this is an angle that the left-wing media has been pushing down our throats ever since the day Donald Trump was elected. Okay? Trump's in office. Now here come the white nationalists all over the place. And coming out of Charlotte, you could potentially come away with that impression. Now you take a look at Boston. We're a racist city. Everybody in the country. You go anywhere else in the country. You go ask black people from anywhere outside of New England.
Yeah, like, where's the most racist place in the country?
Boston. Racist, racist, racist. And we're going to have our big white nationalism rally. And we're going to have our big, you know, right-wing rally.
Which, ironically, I think is part of why they chose to have our city be next.
40 people show up. And let's remember, Charlotte, the only reason you got that turnout in Charlotte.
Charlottesville
is because people came from all over the country to be a part of that.
Oh, yeah. People came from outside the country. People drove from Canada.
The most racist city, one of the most racist cities in America. Can't
get 100 people.
They couldn't get 50. I saw the group that walked off of the bandstand. There were about 40 of them. Well, couldn't get 50 people to show up. That is reality, my friends. That is what's happening in the United States of America. A small, very loud group of people is being allowed to hijack the conversation because it serves somebody else's higher purpose to get everybody all riled up and say, it's the second coming of the Ku Klux Klan. No, it's not. If Boston can turn out 4,000 people against white supremacy and only 40 people in favor of it, keeping in mind that some of our neighboring states include Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, not to mention those upstate New Yorkers who can just bang down the Massachusetts Turnpike to get into town.
Down 90.
If we can only muster 40 people, I don't think we have a big white supremacy problem in this country.
Well, and that's, I think, there are many things. Like I said, Saturday was a really just amazing day, both personally and I think politically and nationally for everybody. But that, I think, is one of my favorite parts is that, as I said, there's a decent chance that why they chose us to be next, or whoever these organizers are chose us, is they were like, Boston, racist city. And it's like, oh, we can totally exploit this here.
They have white people up
there. They have so many white people there, and a lot of them are racist.
There is a Klan chapter in the western part of the state.
Oh, I'm aware. But that, I think, what an amazing message to send, to have this city that I love, but the city that is, you know, stereotypically, notoriously, even if it's not entirely always true, racist, come out and say, screw you guys. Yeah. Like, we are going to stand together and say that we're not going to stand for this. It was really just a, without getting too sentimental, it was a really beautiful day, and it made me really, really proud of both this city and of where we've gotten to in society. Especially, it's like a Bostonian society. I mean, if you told my father 30 years ago that that was going to happen, like if someone attempted that in like the 70s, never in a million years.
No, we were still throwing rocks at the black people in the 70s.
Like that's like, it just shows people can evolve, and both personally and as a, you know, as a society, as a community. we can, it's possible. We can evolve.
Next time somebody tells you that we have a serious problem with white supremacism taking over the country, show them some pictures of what happened in Boston.
I'll show them my Instagram photos.
and ask them to explain that. Show them the pictures of that sad, lonely, isolated group in its self-imposed prison at the bandstand on Boston Common, surrounded by thousands of people advocating tolerance and unity, and ask them how dangerous white supremacy is in our country. 855-915-9636. It is WMFO Medford on the Tell Mikey D is coming your way in just a few minutes. Before that, our favorite things of the past week and the strangest things of the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Joe Perry
and Steven Tyler from Aerosmith here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
It is WMFO Medford. We just checked in with a caller who said she, like Shay, like myself, very, very proud of what the city of Boston did on Saturday, and very proud to see how much the city has changed and attitudes around here have changed in the last 30 years, but also made the point that even though Boston itself is a very liberal city, everything has not changed, and this can still be a very dangerous place for some people.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know,
that's why I said it's not flipping it on its head. It's a step in the right direction.
Yes.
It's you know, nothing goes from black to white, for lack of a better way of putting it.
The one thing that I have said
overnight,
over and over again, and this goes back to the incidents at Fenway Park earlier this year.
Thank you for calling, by the way.
Yes, thank you very much for calling. Regular listener, too, and had very nice things to say. And actually likes Shay for some reason. I don't know.
Because I'm awesome.
Yeah,
ooh, who is it? Let's be friends. We can grab a beer at Tavern.
But as I've been saying, and particularly during the Red Sox incident this past spring, you have to stand up. You have to stand up. You can't sit there and say, I'm not a racist, and then let somebody else behave in a racist way and do nothing.
Yeah, it's almost like a lie by omission.
Saturday, Boston stood up.
Mm-hmm.
All of, and
thousands of Bostonians.
A lot of times.
Tens of thousands.
A lot of times we sit here behind these microphones and we know that what we're saying resonates with a lot of people. And you look around and you read the comments sections and you read the newspapers and you see who's getting elected and you see what's going on in our cities and towns and you say, is anyone doing anything about it? Or are we just sitting around and saying, hey, I'm okay. You know, there's nothing that I can do. Saturday, people decided to do something, and it was amazing.
Yeah, it's all well and good to grab a beer with your friends and chat back and forth and say, oh, this is the way things should be. Well, you've got to, like Derry said, you've got to stand up.
You've got to stand up.
And Saturday was, as I said, and I believe our caller was correct, we still have a long ways to go. Things aren't going to change overnight, but Saturday was an excellent step in the proper direction.
This should have been the theme for Saturday.
Agreed. So for what's hot this week, I'm going to humble brag this Friday.
Oh,
hey, my friend invented that charm. It's awesome. This Friday, I am on a show called Penny for Your Thoughts at the Armory on Highland Avenue in Somerville. It's going to be super fun. It's a series of comedians telling all their worst dating stories, which I'm sure so many of you can relate to. The doors open at 7:30. The show starts at 8 with a suggested donation of a measly $5. And that's just a suggested donation. So, hoo-hoo. I think you can dig deep enough in your pockets, grab that out. But like I said, this Friday, Armory on Highland Avenue in Somerville. Come hang out with me and see what I look like when I'm not sitting behind this microphone.
Did you just name drop that you knew the person that invented humble brag? Because that's a whole different level of humble brag right there.
Yeah, I was trying to be ironic. Did it
you're,
work?
No. No. Because your generation doesn't understand what irony is.
I do, folks.
I think I mentioned this
earlier
this year.
I was trying to be meta.
The Super Nintendo System Classic, the SNES Classic, is coming out, and the pre-orders have already begun. Best Buy and Amazon actually dropped their pre-orders in the middle of the night, and they sold out immediately. GameStop had them yesterday, in person only, and they sold out immediately. If you want one of these things... And yes, it is going to be. It is going to be one of the hottest items this holiday season. One of the hardest things to get. Half of the people who are buying them to resell them on eBay. If you want this thing, you got to get your ear to the ground right now, and find retailers who either haven't started their online pre-orders yet, or who are allowing pre-orders in store but not talking about it. Let me give you a little insider tip to make this work. If you are a Google user...
You would have an insider tip about this.
Set up a Google alert so that the second anything about this goes online, you hear about it.
I'm sorry, did I laugh too hard?
And then what you want to do is you want to camp out at Target or one of these other retailers, not GameStop, not Best Buy, not anybody that took pre-orders, but you want to camp out at a Target or Kohl's or some one of those places that you know is going to have this thing this holiday season and be ready for it the day that it comes in, and you will get one. You're probably going to have to sleep out overnight. This is ridiculous. You can play all, or you know what you can do? You can play all these games on your PC semi-illegally.
I vote for that one.
Yeah. This is, except for Star Fox 2. You won't be able to play this version of Star Fox 2. So it's a really cool console. And it's Nintendo. It's cool. I understand why people are going nuts for it and really want it. But if you're spending $500 for this thing on eBay, come on.
You're a crazy pants.
Stop enabling that behavior.
And now we come to the time in the show where we talk about the thing that happened, which is the craziest story that we could find from last week. For me, police in Taunton, Massachusetts say a man is facing multiple charges after allegedly imposing as a police officer and following a woman for several months. Kevin Cook, 46, of Berkeley, is facing charges of impersonating a police officer, criminal harassment, possession of burglarious tools, and disturbing the peace. Police say a distraught woman entered the police department on Monday, saying a man showed her a police badge and that she believed he was following her. Apparently, she first met him several months ago at a Starbucks, and afterwards, he was there almost every time she was.
Oh, he likes her.
Ah. The unplanned meetings continued despite her going on different days and at different times. She tried going to another Starbucks where she encountered the man once again. She then noticed that his conversations became more sexual, which is when she went to the police while the man was still at the Starbucks. Responding officers found the vehicle and said it displayed an authentic presentation of a police vehicle, including being equipped with radios, a laptop, a cage separating the front and back, and handcuffs, among other items.
Yikes.
The radios had access to police and fire frequencies that allowed him to receive information and communicate, which is against federal law. Uh-oh. Cook was placed under arrest at the scene, and it is not clear when he will appear in court. Stop impersonating police officers to get chicks. Just talk to them, man.
She didn't want to talk to him. She went to a different Starbucks.
Well, then talk to a different chick. How do these people think any of this is okay?
They just don't understand that it's not how it works.
Mm-mm.
Worcester. You're staying local. Worcester. It's all fun and games until someone tries to punch a horse. Donald Pagan.
You know that old adage.
Donald Pagan was having a good time near the beer tent at a Worcester Street Festival this past weekend. We have a beer tent and a street festival in Worcester. You know this doesn't end well.
That sounds about Worcester-y, right?
When a disturbance broke out, police rode up on horses and Mr. Pagan attempted to walk in between them. When police told him to stop, he stepped aside and assumed a battle stance, getting ready to take a swing at one of the horses, which jumped back. Mr. Pagan was rewarded for his actions with charges of assault and battery, resisting arrest, and interfering with a police horse.
And I don't know if it's official, but don't policemen generally consider police horses to be like officers?
Yes. Kids, don't try and hit the police horse.
How are all of you this dumb? Well, not all of you. Some of you are great, but these ones.
He is in the vicinity of a beer tent, but...
That's how people get dumb.
Even given that,
you have to be 19 sheets to the wind to punch, not only to punch a horse, but to punch a police horse.
Yeah, just picking a fight with a horse, generally a bad idea if you are a Homo sapiens, okay? That's not what, the horse is going to win.
Yeah. And the horse, no matter what.
The horse is also not going to stand there and let you punch it, Mr. Dumbass. So, fun in Worcester. And that's all the time we have for this week on the Tell Mikey D. Up next here on WMFO Medford. Until next time, Shay Sp-